Christmas time's coming, Christmas time's coming, and I know I'm going home. Snowflakes are falling, my old home's calling, tall pines are humming when Christmas time's coming. Can't you hear them bells ringing, ringing joy to all? Hear them singing when it's snowing, I'll be going back to my country home.
Hi, listening friends. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. It's December 3rd, 2013. If you were tuned in yesterday, today and the remainder of this week will make sense to you. I had co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo that joins me on Wednesday and Fridays, and Joey Kroll, who's the part of the Thursday edition of Mark and Friends, joined me in the studio. We basically had about an hour, hour and a half conversation, and I'll air that over the remaining 4 days of this week. And yesterday you heard the beginning groundwork where he talked about making Christ the center of our Christmas and heightening our expectancy, looking for opportunities to share our faith, and a lot of other chit-chat that was pretty funny. So if you missed yesterday's broadcast, it is archived at greatnewsradio.org. I think you'll get a kick out of it. Couple quick announcements, and at the end of today's program, we'll give away a pair of tickets to Mamma Mia coming to the State Farm Center this Sunday night, 7 p.m. So stay tuned, and we'll have a pair of tickets to give away at the end of the broadcast. This Sunday at Meadowbrook Church, the Singing Men of GNN are putting on a Christmas concert dressed in our tuxedos. It's a free concert. The Meadowbrook Church is located at 1902 South Duncan Road in Champaign, on the west end of Champaign, basically 2 blocks south of Kirby Avenue, on the corner of Duncan and Southwood. The concert begins at 6 p.m., so come on out, everyone. And finally, a quick shout-out to Frank and Carrie over at Sullivan Park Hill Volvo. I learned that these two tune in many times and hear Mark and Friends in our Great News Radio broadcasts. So thanks, guys, for being a part of our radio listening family. I'll rewind a little of yesterday's conversation, so you'll be hearing from Pastor Jason Schiffo, Joey Kroll, and yours truly. Thanks for listening to today's edition of Mark and Friends.
The tabernacle, the illusion is clear. It's the Old Testament tent of meeting where God's people would come to meet with God. And yet, look at how God in his craziness, because God is crazy, let's just be honest with you. God in his craziness doesn't call God's people to...
Don't write in right now, please.
That's okay.
Let him finish his point. You'll understand when he finishes.
That's okay. You get what you pay for, and he's not paying me. So, look at in the Old Testament, God's people were called to the tent of meeting to meet with God. Here in his lavish love, God comes and meets with us. And not only does he come to meet with us, but as we see in Philippians chapter 2, he emptied himself of everything that it meant to be him, everything that it meant to be, humbled himself and became a man so that he would meet with us. No longer did he say, come to me. He says, I'm going to come to you. And then as I come to you, I'm going to call you to me. You know, God in his infinite wisdom and his infinite love gave us a face that we could understand. You know, in the Old Testament, it's crazy. I mean, God comes and he's like trumpets and lightning and thunder and everything. And God's people are like, ah, and they stand at a distance because they don't know what to do with this. It's overwhelming and it's crazy. And yet God comes and he goes, wait, you know what? I'm going to come down as a man. You're going to see my face. You're going to look into my eyes. You're going to hear me breathe. You're going to see me eat. You're going to touch me. And you're going to believe that I'm real. And don't we see it throughout the Gospels? People just being radically changed. Centurions, Pharisees, the people with the hardest hearts. We see a guy like Paul, who killed Christians for a living. Boom, saved. I mean, Jesus. I mean, that's it. And, you know, we can get kind of hokey-hokey with the Jesus is the reason for the season. But he is. He really, truly is. And my heart grieves sometimes that that's been co-opted as some sort of slogan for the Christmas season, because on a much deeper level, he is the reason for this season. But he's not just the reason for this season. That's the falsehood in this slogan. He's the reason for your life. He's the reason for all that you have. So how do you guys deconstruct Joey Christmas? How do you deconstruct kind of the, look, I got kids. I got four of them. One of them, thank goodness, he's not even aware that he's, you know, he's just, he can only see 3 feet in front of his head and not down the toy aisle in Walmart. So we're safe still.
Now, but for those unfamiliar, that's little baby Samuel that was born about a month ago now.
Yeah, about a month ago. But I got three other kids. And I mean, the minute they hit the Walmart or wherever meant, they're in that toy aisle.
Yeah.
And they're like, I need this, I need this, I need this. I'm like, how do you need it? You didn't even know it existed 5 minutes ago. I mean, how do you really even need it? So how do you deconstruct it? Because you got kids, and it's the same thing.
Yeah. Well, Timothy, who's 11, and Hannah is 8. Boy, that's a tough one. I would love to say that, boy, they're at it. You know, they're 100% Christian. They're our kids. We love them, and it's something you teach throughout the year, not just at Christmas time. You know, giving and so forth. It should be a way of life within the house. And again, I would love to say we're there. We're not. We're trying to get there, though. But, you know, we've noticed that normally just around Christmas time, we say, hey, now's the time to serve. It should be every single day. You know, as Christ washed the disciples' feet, he said, do this. So we need to be doing that as well. But, yeah, it should be a thing that we do throughout the year so that when Christmas times comes, it's not as much as I need this toy. It should be, you know, what can I do to serve? So, yeah, just teaching them to serve throughout the year so when Christmas comes, it's not as bad, I guess is the nice way of saying it.
Yeah, I think instead of almost, it's more helpful for me, instead of saying no, 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 or we're going to, I mean, because let's be honest, when you go in Target or you go in any of these stores, and I mean, it's hard enough when you go in on a Monday in April. But now you go in during Christmas and everything's red and green. The music is amped up. Grandma got ran over by a reindeer and Rudolph has his red nose 10 different times while we're in there. The place is absolutely crazy and they've got, you know, a runway lit up to the toy aisle. I mean, it's crazy. So the minute you get in there, your kids are like, woo!
But you know what, Jason? Some adults are like that too.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. So, but I mean, it's already not. So, I mean, I guess for me, the noise is even greater. So. I don't think it's helpful for people to say, well, stop, don't do that, don't do that, don't do that. But how do we engage it? How do we go in there and we engage that? You know, one of the things that we do is we'll find some ways where we can buy toys for kids who don't have toys, don't have families, you know, that Operation Christmas Tree and the different Christmas Child, all those different things, and try to take the kids there and get them in the midst of the noise and the craziness, but divert the craziness away from themselves and try and get it external. Look, there is all this noise and there's all this craziness, and you're right, you're going to be in the midst of it. But now how do you take that and you serve, like you said, I think, serve the world and to love people in a way that, look, this is a season with the greatest expression of love that ever existed. I mean, look, I sometimes can't empty myself of me to get through the day, and God emptied himself of everything that he was for my eternity. And so how powerful is that?
Well, I was thinking something you said earlier about silver and gold, and that reminded me of our Friday study through the book of Acts and how Peter at the temple was saying, silver and gold I don't have, but of what I do have. And this is kind of the season where there's a readiness of people or a receptivity where people are open to hearing the gospel or the reason of the season. I was thinking some of these international students that I've been sharing with where, now why do you guys celebrate Christmas and what's it all about? And it's like, silver and gold I don't have to give you, but let me tell you about the message of Jesus.
And even when Peter and I think it was John, who was also at the temple gate, when they gave him something that wasn't gold or silver, they still got in trouble back then. They had to stand in front of the Sanhedrin because they brought the name of Jesus. But if they would have conformed and given the man silver and gold, I wonder if they would be in trouble.
I don't know if they would be in trouble or they wouldn't be in trouble. I think that in spite of Peter and John or in spite of anybody else, in spite of us, the Lord pushes his plan forward. You know, I think Peter and John allowed themselves to be used in that moment to speak to that man. But I guess for me, the real question would be, and it really comes off of what you're saying, Joey, is look, because of that situation, Peter and John went in front of the Sanhedrin. The text is very clear. They were beaten because of it. Amazingly, after that, they go back to the church. They relay the story. Oh, my gosh, there was this dude, and we didn't have silver and gold. And we told him. He got up, and he jumped. He started leaping all over the place. They thought we did it. We said Jesus did it. But we also told them how sinful they were. They beat us. It was a really bad day. What do you guys think? Let's pray, and the whole building gets shaken. I mean, it's like a crazy story. And so I just wonder if we're willing to stand in front of the Sanhedrins of our life because we're willing to lift the name of Jesus up. I've challenged my wife a number of years ago, and she challenges me back. We challenge each other back. But, I mean, is our shopping list for Christmas as the same as our prayer list for Christmas?
Oh,
I mean,
there you go.
Do I have something running, even if in my heart or my mind, of I know what you need for Christmas, you need Jesus, and I know what you need for Christmas, and you need Jesus, and I'm going to pray for those things, and I'm going to get in your life somehow, and maybe it's a cup of coffee, I don't know. But instead of just going like, you know what you need for Christmas, a tie, and you need some shoes, and you need Jesus. And you know, because I mean, the Lord says it's coming like a thief in the night. We don't know when it's going to happen. I mean, one day we're going to wake up and we're going to be like, oh, man, isn't that crazy? There's a white horse in the sky with a guy on it. I think Jesus is here. I mean, it's going to come like that, and we won't have the benefit of all the things that we've had here, which is lost people to witness to and to share who Jesus is with. And so I just think that we've got to have, as Christians, I think we've missed the tenacity of sharing the gospel. I think we've become so kind of hands-off and like, well, I just want to love them and I just want to care for them, but I don't want to offend them. Paul's real clear. The gospel's offensive to those who are perishing. Now, when I read that verse, it gets me crazy, because I shared at our church a number of weeks ago that the idea of that verse is not that, like, hey, look at me, man, I'm a Christian, and I'm just looking foolish for Christ, and that's okay, because, you know, you just don't know who Christ is, and that. But the verse there says those people are dying. They're perishing. And you know what that verse actually to me says? Is that we're foolish, we're fools, because we're allowing them to die. We're allowing them to die while we have, at the end of that verse says, because of the gospel, which is the power of God. We have the power of God through the gospel to share with those people. And when we don't do it, we allow them to die. But we'll come in and we'll go like, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Sorry you're dying. Merry Christmas. I mean, that's crazy. And sometimes, I'll be honest with you, I'll be at the Thanksgiving table or the Christmas table, and I'll be like, I don't know, you know, I mean, there's a bunch of people here who don't know Jesus. And if I ask to pray, maybe I'll... Oh, maybe they'll get mad. I don't know. You know, I said I should be like, hey, you know what? I'm just going to share Jesus with you guys right now. And many of you guys won't accept it, or maybe you won't do it. But you know what? I'm not going to stop. I'm not going to stop because I love you. And you might not love what I'm going to do, but I love you more than you know.
So what can we do? And I think you bring up some really good points there. So, Mark, Jason, what can we do to make this Christmas a different Christmas with that type of attitude?
Well, I think even I mentioned at the onset of the program, actually now because we're taping this hour and a half conversation and breaking into different days, I guess I would say yesterday in the midst of the program.
You don't have to operate in any weird kind of time space. It's today.
Yeah.
Welcome to today, Mark.
So I'm thinking yesterday's program, at one point I said, hey, let's pray before we go any further. And for me, that's such an important time because it kind of is a catalyst for me to reorientate. Okay, Lord, I want you to order my steps. I want you to be involved in this next conversation. There's a chance that, especially during the season, that people will entertain the idea of, well, there is some spirituality going around here, and so they might be open to hearing more about what the meaning is behind Christmas. So oftentimes I try to default on, Lord, help me pray this up. So I guess to answer your question, this is a season where many times we're going to have lots of opportunity to share the reason for the season, the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I'm thinking to myself, Lord, help me pause and pray and involve you in the future conversations that I'll have today. And so for me, prayer will be an integral part of all the time of looking for options or opportunities.
Yeah, I think, too, maybe just a sense of expectancy. Look, you know, the kid waiting for Christmas morning, like, oh, my gosh, it's coming. It's coming. When can I open the present? Like you said, I mean, there's wrapping paper, like, I mean, clearly you open the presents in the living room and there's wrapping paper in the dishwasher. You can't figure out how this happened. That just tells you how crazy the moment was. But how can we turn that expectancy around and utilize it for, again, for the glory and majesty of Christ? You know, when I was thinking about what we would talk about today, and I was kind of thinking about some of that, I wrote down a few questions, and one of the thoughts that I just really was shocking to me, Malachi. Now, Malachi is an interesting piece of text, because Malachi, some will read Malachi in its time when it was written, and some will read it then prophetically also for a future time. Regardless, the end of Malachi says, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse. The end of Malachi speaks of God coming and striking the land with a curse. And then from there, those of you with a Bible, you got a blank page, because that's 400 to 600 years of nothing, of silence. And then let me ask you a question. Does God come and strike the land with a curse? No, he comes in this baby, in the form of this baby, to bless the land and its people, to bless the people of God. But you know what? I don't think the Jews at the time were ready for Christmas. I don't think they were prepared for Christmas. I think they were prepared for their kind of Christmas, but I don't think that they were prepared for a Christ-centered Christmas. I don't think they were prepared for a – and if anybody comes to the church and they hear this, I'm like, man, this sounds like good stuff. I got to write this down. But I don't think that they're ready for a Christ-centered Christmas, a Christmas that was based on something other than. And we see that. That's what the Gospels are replete with, is this idea of, wait a second, we realize you say you're the Messiah, but we read the Messiah coming as something entirely different. We realize that it's Christmas and you like Jesus, but we think Christmas is just about the tree and the wreath and the Santa down the chimney. I mean, it's the same kind of thing. Are we prepared for Christmas? Are we truly prepared? So I think one of the things we can do is have a heightened sense of expectancy about Jesus, and I don't think we're going to have that unless we talk about him. And I'm just one who's always about, let's talk about Jesus. Let's lift his name up. You know, a grassroots movement of Jesus is the only thing. Jesus is it. And through Jesus, there'll be salvation, the greatest gift you could ever give. You know what? We had a guy that I know who got saved last year right around Christmas time. We joke when I see him because he goes, when I received Jesus, it was the gift that kept on giving.
Hmm.
And I go, what do you mean? Tell me about that. He goes, well, because I got Jesus, and then my wife found out who Jesus was, and my kids found out who Jesus was. And he goes, now we're working on my mother and my grandmother and these other people. He goes, it's a gift that keeps on giving.
Hmm.
He goes, it's limitless. And I go, yes, that's it. It's not momentary. It's not going to break. It's not going to run out of batteries. It's not going to, the warranty doesn't run out on it. By the way, when the warranty gets near its end,
yep,
that's because glory is coming.
Right.
It's all good. But I mean, it's great. You don't have to buy an extended warranty plan. You don't have to do any of those things. Jesus is now and forever. So I think we need to be prepared by having that heightened sense of expectancy, talking about it, and even in terms of talking about it within our Christian circles and challenging each other to talk about it outside of it. You know, one of my favorite questions to ask people lately is, tell me about how you've shared Jesus lately with somebody. Tell me about what Jesus is doing in your life and how you've shared that with somebody. You know, getting people to maybe hopefully prompt them to share their life in Christ, which is the greatest testimony of Christ.
Hmm.
So, I mean, beyond that, so we have expectancy, and Mark talked about prayer. And I think prayer, too, is so integral because we want to continually be. Look, we're going to have to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit in this season because, as I think you guys both said, there's a lot of oppression in this season. There's a lot of that. I mean, look, if there wasn't, you wouldn't have people like not saying Merry Christmas. You wouldn't have people fighting you on that. You wouldn't have to have buttons that say put Christ back in Christmas. We're having that battle because there is oppression that's coming out because Christmas does free you. It does remind us of this Christ who came and continues to come. But I think that prayer is key because we need to pray for the power of the Holy Spirit to help us in this season, because we desperately need help. And there are those who will come across. I think that, I don't know about you guys, and I'd love to hear your thoughts, but I think that Christmas time for me, I encounter people with the most strongholds, where Christmas, you know, any holidays really, but Christmas seems to be one of the big ones where maybe there's bad memories, maybe there's bad things that have happened, maybe there's, my Christmases were never like this. You know, there's a lot of strongholds built around what we think Christmas should be or what Christmas ought to be or how Christmas has hurt us in what it was. I mean, you guys have any thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I think for a lot of people, Christmas, and especially the end of the year, gives them an opportunity to look back at their life.
Yeah.
What this year held for them. For a lot of people, it can be pretty depressing. Maybe they lost a relative or they made some bad decisions personally or a marriage that just fell apart. It gives you a time of reflecting. I think, you know, that has, I think that has its pluses. You know, when we look back, we learn from opportunities, obviously, but okay, God, I don't know why that happened, but I'm going to trust you. Either you can run to God or you'll run from him. And I think when we have the mentality of, okay, Lord, help me to find opportunities to share you today, like Mark, what you said, just starting your day off in prayer, we can be sensitive to those individuals in our lives and so forth. But I think when Christmas time comes along, it gives you an opportunity to reflect maybe to a childhood or, you know, because Christmas is a great family time. That can be a great thing or it can be a bad thing. It may help you remember, you know, maybe that grandmother who passed away 3 years ago, you're never going to see them again this side of heaven. So it gives you an opportunity to pause and maybe reflect back, which could be a good thing or can be a struggling thing for a certain individual.
And I wonder about the expectations. I mean, we watch the TV where it paints everything is rosy and perfect, and yet we're all stressed out and we're running around, or we're trying to live up to the image that's been painted. This is what the Christmas is supposed to be. The new car, the bow, the vacation homes, the travel and everything. And it's like, oh, that's where you find happiness. And we lose sight of the very core of what the reason is. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, not having the children that you guys have, but seeing that the kids just are running crazy and everyone's running crazy to attend all the different festivals and feasts and pageantry. And it's like, gosh, it's a crazy time. I mean, you can't even imagine Jesus entering into our world now, seeing the busyness that everyone is just consumed by, everything that has to be done. And I don't know anyone that's not at some point saying, I'm kind of stressed right now. Leave me alone. What's that one Saturday Night Live? Leave me alone. I'm doing fine. The dysfunctional family Christmas. I don't know. I used to sing that with somebody. Wait, leave me alone. I'm doing fine. Please go away. Please go away. I'm doing fine. I don't know. Dysfunctional family Christmas. But I think, again, it's spending time in God's Word, like on a daily basis. It's just kind of pausing. It's reflecting the true meaning of the season. And I'd hope that would be what people would glean from these programs as we talk about this Advent season. This is a time, it's early enough in December now, that people can kind of say, you know what, I'm getting caught up in this whole purchasing, this merchandising, this whole consumerism Christmas, and I need to recalibrate. And how do I do that? Well, praying, reading God's Word. But what are maybe some other recommendations to help people recalibrate or get grounded?
Well, I think Joey hit on something that I think is really important, and I'd love to hear Joey talk maybe a little bit more about it, or maybe how it's applicable to his own life. He's looking at me like, well, what's he mean?
What did I say?
Joey likes to be prepared, so as I'm lobbing grenades over here, I don't know that he likes this. He looks a little uncomfortable, but that's all right.
But he looks well-dressed. Here we are, I mean, beat-up outfits. He's got a sport coat on. He's looking really good.
I know Joey grew up like me in a very religious family. Our parents wore the ephod and the robes, and we had a mini temple out in the back and an altar of sacrifice. And, you know, it was just wonderful. I mean, we raised baby goats so that we'd always stay holy. No, that's not how it went. So let me ask you, because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, I didn't grow up in a Christian house. I didn't grow up with Christian parents. I didn't grow up with parents who care about that. I mean, just a number of years ago, I sent my mom a Bible that was the Bible I got saved from. So it had a lot of underlined verses because she's not a Christian. And I sent her a Bible that I got saved through that meant a lot to me. And unfortunately, she sent me back a book on gardening. And so it was just she said, you know what, that's your God, and I like to garden. And this is my, so it was really kind of telling as to, you know, my childhood. I don't say that so I can slam my mom. I say that so that you understand kind of where we're at and where I came from. So when I go to talk to my kids, I got a lot of stories I have to tell them, but they're not necessarily those faith building stories. But I think that one of the things that's so important is to tell our stories.
Well, speaking of stories, there's more to be shared tomorrow on the Wednesday edition of Mark and Friends. In fact, all week long, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, we'll continue this discussion as I had co-host Pastor Jason Schiffo and Joey Kroll in the studio with me. And we'll continue to talk about Advent, keeping Christ as the center of our Christmas season, and for that matter, throughout the year, heightening our expectancy and looking for opportunities to share our faith. Well, as promised at the front end of the program, right now, the fifth caller will get a pair of tickets to Mamma Mia. The fifth caller at 217-367-7777. And when this program re-airs in the evening at the same point in the program, the fifth caller will also win a pair of tickets. So call now, 217-367-7777. And that's Mamma Mia coming to the State Farm Center this Sunday night, December 8th at 7 p.m. Fifth caller right now will get a pair of tickets. Thanks for listening, everyone. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.